Please pray with me. So, Father, we thank you for preceding us as we've come to this time of worship to prepare our hearts to hear your word and to respond to it. And we pray that now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us, be in our minds, help us to understand in our hearts, help us to believe, and then on our lips, help us to proclaim your praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ellen and I are in a Bible study that meets every week, and we're studying the Gospel of Mark. And in the last Sunday's lesson, in the 8th chapter of Mark, we encountered the lesson of Jesus healing the man who was blind. And he comes to this man who's been blind, and he spits on his eyes, and he puts his hands on him, and he then says to the man, "Do you see? Is anything happening? Anything going on?" And the man responds, I see. But I see men as trees walking." And so it's sort of a half a miracle. You know, it's he sees, but it's not full sight. He sees, but it's not clarity of vision. And so Jesus lays his hands on him again and completes the healing work that he's already begun in this man's life. He now sees where he didn't really see before. It's possible to see on certain levels, isn't it? See intellectually or conceptually, or see even in our affirmations of, "I believe this," and "I confess it" in our creeds. To see, and yet not to see clearly. Not to see clearly. It's a long journey from seeing to seeing clearly. And I think that's part of the parable of the man who was healed by the two touches of Jesus. For example, if you read through John's Gospel, you'll read eventually the passage that says, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it will be like springs of living water flowing in you and through you and abounding into your life. And then when I look at my own life, I have to shake my head and say, "What is that about? I don't know what that is." You know, for me, it's like a trickle, not streams. For me, it's like a dripping faucet, not streams of living water. And so I see it, but I don't see clearly what that means. And if you read in the Gospel of Matthew, you hear Jesus say, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And again, I have to say, "Jesus, I hear your words, and I see it. I mean, I see it in print, and I see it as a truth, but I don't know that I know what it means to rest in you and in the completed work of Christ on the cross." And so I see, but I haven't seen clearly what that means. So there's a gap between the reality of my life and how I hear the Christian life should be. And so it's a journey, isn't it? From seeing, I see this, to seeing clearly what God wants me to see. And so the gospel today from Matthew chapter 28 gives us insight into what it means to see clearly. It's the Great Commission in the last part of Matthew. There's a similar commission in some of the other gospels. This is the clearest one of all the gospels. And it's when Jesus goes with the 11 up to the mountain and he commissions them. It's the very last of his life, moments before he ascends into heaven. So you have to believe that these are his parting words of wisdom to the people that he loves and cares for most. And in that context, he says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I commanded you." Go and make disciples, he says, and baptize them. And so what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and by the Father and by Jesus, the name of the Trinity, and it means to learn the commands that God has given to us to learn. And so today I'm fascinated with the idea of baptism in the name of the Trinity. What does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? To be baptized is a secular word that's borrowed from the secular world to be adopted into the Christian world. And so when you baptize something in the secular world, you take a piece of cloth, for example, and you plunge it into some dye so that every fiber of its being is saturated with this dye. And then you lift it up and it's dripping of the dye that it's just absorbed. It become inseparable, the dye and the cloth that you plunge into the dye. And so to be baptized in a secular sense is to be immersed or overcome or overwhelmed or saturated with whatever it is that you were baptizing. And when we talk about baptized in the name, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, names for us are sort of mercurial. They don't mean as much as they did in the biblical world. And so in the biblical world, a name would characterize the person. They would name what that person is like, what their character is like. And so when Jesus says that a disciple is one who is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's a person who's immersed, whose life is immersed in the fullness of God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fullness of God, the Trinity. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It's becoming and believing and trusting, but it's even more than that. It's unity with God. It's being so immersed in God, it's being put in God and God put in us, that there's a unity between us and God that then from there on defines our life and our being, this unity. It's union. It's moving from Christ died for me, you know, kind of a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago. And it happened, and I believe it, and I trust it, and I affirm it every time we say the creeds. But it's moving from Christ died for me to I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ. He lives in me. You are put into God when you become a Christian, and God is put into you when you become a Christian, and there's this unity between you and God. Look at the disciples before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Couldn't be clearer, could it, that their lives are absolutely transformed by the power of God, who they walked with day after day, and they heard teach and talk and do miracles and do all the things that Jesus did with the disciples throughout those 3 years of ministry. But now that same God comes to live inside of them as power. So Jesus says in another place, "It is to your advantage that I go away. Otherwise the Holy Spirit can't come." He says, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter who will know, and you will know him, for he will dwell in you and will be in you." Do you see the qualitative difference there is between walking with God, walking to God, having a relationship with him in prayer and Bible study and all the good things that we do as Christians? All of that's great, but there's a qualitative difference between that and knowing that God lives in us and we live in him. To be baptized in the name of the Trinity is to be immersed in the fullness of God, God is put in you, and you're put in God. Do you hear what was read in the epistle lesson that Rod read a few minutes ago? He begins this lesson from the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians by saying, "Do you not realize this about yourself, that Christ Jesus is in you?" He's in you. That's such great news that we're able to have this unity, this commingling with the Godhead himself, and to live from that awareness, to move from I see to seeing clearly what it is that God wants to do in our lives. The prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians in chapter 3 is that they will know the love of God and that they will be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Paul's heart concern for the Ephesians. It's got to be his heart concern for us, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. J.I. Packer puts it this way. He says, "Communion between God and man is the end to which both creation and redemption are the means. It is the goal to which both theology and preaching must ever point. It is the essence of true religion. It is indeed the definition of Christianity, this communion between God and man." And so to reject our union, when we become Christians, we have our sins forgiven. We have this reconciled relationship with God. We can trust him for our salvation. All of that's true. But to resist this, the additional fact of Scripture about our union with God, it explains why we see and don't see clearly. To reject our union with God is why we taste the living waters rather than dive into them and allow them to fill our lives with refreshment and renewal. And to reject our union with God means that we have moments of rest, of course, but it means that we don't know what it means to really rest in the completed work of Jesus on the cross when he said, "It is finished. It's done. Everything that's needed for your salvation, it's been completed." And so when Jesus says to make disciples, his parting words to his disciples, go make other disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he's pointing to something much more profound than a liturgical rite, as important as holy baptism is. He's pointing us to a relationship with God that is now available to us because of what Jesus has done for us. He has put the fullness of God in them, that they will put themselves into God. Brennan Manning says it this way, "The reckless, raging fury of Yahweh culminates in a symbiotic fusion, a union so substantive that the Apostle Paul would write, 'It is no longer I who live, but Christ, he lives in me.'" So if I am a Christian, that means that God lives in me, whether I recognize it or know it or see it clearly or not. It means that God lives in me, and Jesus is as close to me at that point as he ever will be or ever can be. Now, what I see, I would pray that I would see clearly. I would see along this journey that leads to clarity of insight into what it means to be united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. I would pray that we would have the awareness of this union whereby we know that God lives in us, that he's made his home in us, and that we live from that. We live out of that. Faith, as Rankin Wilburn said, is a God-given gift that allows you to take hold of God's having taken hold of you. I love that so much that I'm going to read it again. Rankin Wilburn says that faith is a God-given gift that allows you to take hold of God's having taken hold of you. So what does it mean to be a disciple? According to the gospel lesson today, Jesus says, go and make disciples. And how do you do that? You baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You put them into God, and they put God into them. And there's this commingling, this union that happens when we become Christians. And then teach them to obey all that I command you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.